Broadcasting live from the Wake Forest Business Radio X studios in North Carolina, it's time for Metro Raleigh Business Radio, where business leaders in Raleigh come to tell their stories.
Well, good afternoon. This is Brooks Rayford with the North Carolina Technology Association, and welcome to the second installment of NC Tech Talk. NC Tech Talk is done in partnership with Business Radio X Metro Raleigh Station. We're a monthly internet show, and we broadcast live on the fourth Monday of every month at 1 p.m. Be sure and check the news tab at nctechnology.org, where you'll also find links to archived editions of our interviews. We aim to feature timely guests and topics that are relevant to the tech and broader business community in North Carolina, and today is no exception. We look forward to introducing our guests in just a moment. For those of you who are unfamiliar with the North Carolina Technology Association, we are a not-for-profit, membership-driven trade association and are the primary voice of the tech industry in North Carolina. We call ourselves NCETA. NCETA supports the growth of North Carolina through executive engagement, public affairs, and knowledge workforce, which is our fancy term for talent and the demand therein. If you ever want to learn more about us, you can visit our website at nctechnology.org. Our Twitter handle is at NCTA, where we also have the hashtag NCTechTalk, and we have a company page on LinkedIn. Tell you a little bit about the format of our show. We typically tell you a little bit about what's going on with the association and the tech sector generally. We often touch a little bit on public affairs, some of the issues that are affecting our sector across North Carolina. And then we invite guests from the tech community to come in and tell us a bit about what they're doing, what their companies are doing, and maybe some tidbits of what to be on the lookout for on the horizon with them. We're very pleased to have in studio with us today two guests. First is Jeff Lang. He's Vice President and General Manager of Global Technology and Operations with MetLife. Welcome, Jeff.
Thank you, Brooks. Happy to be here.
Thanks very much. And also Bob Hawkins, who's Vice President of North Carolina Operations for EMC Corporation.
My pleasure, Brooks.
Great to have you with us. First, we'll talk a little bit with Jeff. Jeff, MetLife has been in the news a lot around here. You are fairly new to the company, although you're employee number one here. Tell us a little bit about your decision to open this technology center in the Cary region.
Brooks, I'm happy to. I am employee number one. We announced in March of 2013 that we were going to be moving to North Carolina. This was MetLife. And we were opening up two centers, one in Cary as well as one in Charlotte. And the way to think about that is the one in Cary is for global technology and operations, and our Charlotte location is for America's business. We announced that we would be hiring approximately 1,300 people in each location, and that our target is to complete that by the end of 2015. Additionally, as many of the folks here know, in the Cary area, we are also building a new campus on Weston Parkway on Lake Crabtree. We have two large buildings being built there, two seven-story buildings that will house about 2,400 people, which I expect that we will certainly fill. And it's simply a matter of how quickly we get all of those positions filled. But we're very excited to be here. I can tell you the hiring is going exceptionally well. I was just at an onboarding class this morning where I welcomed about 35 new employees. And with those new employees, we'll be approaching close to 900 people here in the Raleigh or the Cary location. And this same time last year, to put it in perspective, we had our very first class when I had seven people in attendance. So I think we've made some fantastic headway.
Well, that's great. It's nice to hear about the growth both here and in Charlotte. So really thank you for mentioning both those sites. Tell us a little bit about what made MetLife choose North Carolina for this this operation. And as I understand it, there was some consolidation as part of that. So tell us a bit about that.
That's absolutely correct. It's a bigger story, and this is one where if you were to look at MetLife historically, and you know we're a 145-year-old company and 64,000 employees, but historically we were a company that had lots of different silos. It was just the way the business was designed and grew over the course of its history. And when you break that down, what we found is we were on the technology side in 26 locations, primarily in the Northeast. But with 26 locations, you lack the ability to have effective communication and coordination between the different parties in from a technology standpoint, developers, testers, BSAs. It's just very difficult to bring all of those folks together. So we first took a look at that and said, this isn't efficient. We then realized that most of those locations were not running at 100% occupancy. So you find you're not getting the types of communication and efficiency you're looking for. You're spending premium dollars for a lot of locations where you're less than 100% occupied. And you reach a decision that says we should really consolidate. With that, you then ask the question, well, do I really want to consolidate in some of the most expensive real estate with some of the highest salaries in the United States? And we realized it probably made sense to start looking where we could find a way to get the talent that we need, accrue some labor arbitrage in terms of what we have to pay for salaries, as well as find an overall lower expense for the facilities. We started that process, submitted some RFPs to multiple states, and I can tell you that North Carolina was at the top of that list from the standpoint of all of the values that you read about all the time, about a great place to live, a great place to work. But in all candor, at the end of the day, there are multiple places like that where the governor and the economic development teams all came together for us was with their overall incentive package, that they provided to MetLife. You combine that with the caliber of people that are here, the talent pools that are available for technology, and I'm speaking here specifically in the greater Wake County area, and this became our final decision.
Great. Well, a lot of those factors are ones that we talk about in North Carolina as being compelling, and it's great to hear evidence of that. Look out a little bit. So as you look ahead, not just next year and meeting a 1,300-person goal, if you look 5 years out or thereabouts, is the idea to hold steady relatively? Is there still potential for more growth here? What are you building for?
That's a great question, and none of us are prescient enough to know exactly what that future is going to bring. But so far, we are extremely pleased by the work that's gone on here. We're thrilled with the kind of support we get from community leaders, from organizational leaders such as yourself. We are so broadly welcomed. It is just terrific. And we've developed and started this culture here in North Carolina that is visibly different in a positive way from some of the cultures we have in other locations across MetLife in the United States. So we are certainly looking at other opportunities, in terms of what we might do in North Carolina. And that's both true of Cary as well as Charlotte. It would be premature to say we've made any decisions in that respect for the area. But when you lay out a plan the way we have and you set goalstones and targets and you're looking for metrics in terms of have you made the right decisions, I'd say we've hit a home run in terms of all of the things that we've been looking for, the quality of the people, the access to, the talent pool here. We're just thrilled about it.
Well, you mentioned incentives as being a key part of coming. That's both an immediate impact, and usually incentives are also over some period of time in the way that they're structured. What else did the state do or the local economic development communities do that were important to you? You worked with a lot of them as part of this. What were some of the things that were meaningful beyond just the straight incentives package?
At the end of the day, it's about the receptiveness of the organization to help us in every conceivable way. I can look at the chambers, you know, the Cary chamber and the Raleigh chamber. No matter what we needed to do, they guided us to the right people, to the right organizations. Very early on, there was we are directed to work with you, with NCETA, and that's been very positive for us. We've been able to meet many, many other executives in the area, like Bob, with EMC. We've gotten engaged with people from the universities, NC State, UNC, NCANT, UNC Wilmington. We could not have made those contacts. We could have not have been able to make the progress we've been able to without the support and the guidance of the leadership here in the geography. It's not what you always run into up north.
Well, I'm glad it's working out for you. We hope that it continues to. You mentioned the goal of 13,000 hires. And
1,300.
13. See how I did that?
Yeah.
little upsell. 1,300.
Yeah.
The placement of a comma means everything, doesn't it?
Yes.
As you move toward filling those positions and you're over halfway there, what skill sets have you been looking for? Has it been in stages, the types of jobs you're seeking to fill, or has it been across the board?
Stages is a great way to describe it. If you understand that we're doing a consolidation of people and positions from multiple locations across the Northeast, and you're replacing them with people here, you know, fundamentally they're replacements. I describe that as you need tenured professionals, whether it's in COBOL, assembler, Java, DB2, you know, Sybase, one of the ones we're using a lot more of is Mongo, DB. You need people that have the experience working in mainframe architectures, and quite honestly, many of our systems are 30 years old. So you need that tenured professional that knows all of those skills. So what you would see to date, if you were to visit our current buildings, is many people in their 30s and 40s, and as well as in their 50s, because they have the skill set that we're looking for. As we are progressing forward, where we've started the process of hiring younger people, specifically on June the 2nd, we started an internship program, our first one, where we hired 17 interns that will finish a 10-week program. On July 14th, we started a program that is for college hires. And these are effectively people right out of that have just graduated, right out of college to, you know, 2 years out or 3 years out. And we have established a six-month internship or training program for these people. We call it MetTech University. And as I often tell people, the difference is that these kids that are coming out are just incredibly sharp and have enthusiasm and innovation and ideas that the tenured professionals don't always have. But being the father of three millennials, I can share with you that when they come out of college, they think they know everything, and they don't always know everything for a large company, how you work within a large company, mm-hmm. and how you can work with legacy systems. So we have 6 months of training for them before we move them on, and then we start another class. So it's, you know, every 6 months, you know, at least 50 new employees. So it's a long-winded answer to your question, Brooks, but it's about the tenured professionals with skills simultaneously ramping up with college kids coming right out, as well as increasing the internship program that we need to have, so that ultimately will bring down that average age of the MetLife employees, as well as bringing on new ideas and innovative thoughts and ways that we can help transform this industry.
Well, besides universities and the internship program that you have, for the more seasoned positions, I'm guessing you have your own infrastructure for recruitment, but also probably partner with the professional services world to do the same. How have you found that process in this area? Are you finding the resources that you need in terms of external help to find the talent you're looking for?
The short answer is it took a while to get there.
Okay.
We have a recruitment process outsourcer for MetLife, an RPO. And in addition to that, we found, especially for what I'll call difficult to hire positions, that we had to use some third-party companies and provide them the position descriptions for them to go out and actively recruit on a contingency basis. Many of the positions for engineering and for project management and business systems analysts, we've been pretty lucky finding just the right talent. But there are some specialty skills, particularly in analytics, big data, as as we like to call it today, some skills relating to MongoDB, which is a technology that we're using and very, very effectively. It's a new one for us, but there isn't the wealth of skills out there in the marketplace that you need. And as a consequence, the prices get very, very high very quickly for that skill set. So,
well, you're competing with a number of other, I guess, companies of all sizes, but there are a number of centers of excellence or companies that are sizable and getting larger, oftentimes hiring hundreds of people as well.
Absolutely.
In the same market.
Yeah.
Of those 86% or so you mentioned earlier that you're hiring from outside the company, are most of those local and coming from some other employer here, or are many of them coming from outside this market?
It's a good mix. We actually, although I'd say most are local, we have people from California, Texas, Michigan, mm-hmm. Pennsylvania, Florida. This is where you have to look at the fantastic job the community has done, because people are not afraid to come to North Carolina. And so when they see a job opportunity and it's in their sweet spot mm-hmm. and it's MetLife, there's a number of things that all line up there. I like to think because it's MetLife and they realize the quality of the company and the history and the values of the company, they say, this is a place I'd like to go to work. But then you look at it being North Carolina and the, you know, Raleigh, Cary marketplace, and they say, what a fantastic place to live and raise a family. So we actually see a lot of people just coming new into the geography. But there are those that have come from other companies locally. As I've talked to my friends, as I've got to make my, you know, peer friends with just so many of the other larger organizations mm-hmm. in the area, they say, Jeff, good luck to you, but just don't take too many.
Good luck, but not too much.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
I was invited to speak to the CIO and his team of a large brand name retail company a while back, where one of the concerns they had, or one of the challenges they had in attracting the interest of potential employees, particularly those in college or just out, is that their brand was not associated with IT work. So a lot of younger people in particular didn't immediately think of them as a top-tier place to go, not because of lack of quality of that company. It just wasn't a tech name. You have somewhat of a similar situation here. How have you gotten that message out? The press has been very good to you here. It's certainly not a secret you're in town. But how are you reaching the core target that you're after?
Yeah, that is a difficult one. You know, people see MetLife, and even though we are global technology and operations, mm-hmm. It's just not an organization you would look at right on the surface and say that's a technology group. I like to think of it, though, as some of the very best companies that utilize technology, from UPS to Starbucks to Federal Express and Walt Disney. They're all, you know, offer superior service, and it's their use of technology for a competitive advantage. So that is the message that we are promoting. We actually have hired a third-party public relations firm that helps us with that. We've developed our own GTO website that we publicize, and we'll use channels of Twitter and LinkedIn to promote that. We certainly have our RPO and our other recruiters asking people, as we do marketing and advertising, to look at the MetLifeGTO.com site, because that is specific to GTO and what it is that we're trying to accomplish here. It talks about the jobs and the people and the innovation and the kinds of things that we think make us special and why people would want to come work for MetLife.
Great. Well, I'll tell you as we wrap up that you were kind enough to invite me to come to the groundbreaking of your new facility here in the Triangle region, and I had a chance to meet Snoopy. And as you have noted before, it's almost like transporting the Stanley Cup.
Yes.
The way they move that costume around.
So, lock and key.
That's right. White glove transport.
Absolutely.
And you have to have an employee who's a certain height or lack thereof to play the role. So
that's very true.
Sure, it's competitive.
And Brooks will invite you to the groundbreaking at the new site or the opening of the new site in February as well.
Well, I look forward to that. Thank you very much, Jeff, for being with us.
My pleasure.
So you're listening to North Carolina Tech Talk on Business Radio X, the Metro Raleigh station, brought to you by the North Carolina Technology Association. We are the trade group for the tech sector in North Carolina, and we appreciate you tuning in today. We're broadcasting live on the 28th of July. 1 o'clock every fourth Monday is when our show is on the air, and we live on line after that on our website at nctechnology.org. You can find us virtually on Twitter at NCTA. We have a hashtag there of hashtag NC Tech Talk, and you can find us on LinkedIn on our company page. So a few words about what we're up to with public policy and an awards program that's coming up before we welcome our next guest. First, I want to tease a little bit our next month's show. We will have with us Ed Turlington with the firm of Brooks Pierce. He represents the Tech Association in our state public affairs matters, and we do follow a lot of the legislative activity going on while the legislature's in session and even while they're out. There are a number of issues that are important to our community that we chime in on, and we're doing that now. As we broadcast today, the legislature is in session for at least and hopefully only one more week to wrap up the state's budget and pass a few more bills, some of which are on our radar. So we will brief you next month when we come back to you live with an update. Secondly, I want to point out that the state has an annual Tech Awards program. The NC Tech Awards will be awarded this fall. We typically have 800-plus people show up in the early November timeframe for a big gala where we announce finalists and winners for categories of all types for companies, both tech and non-tech, but who are using technology in creative and compelling ways and who are successful. The reason I bring it up now is that we have the nomination and application period open as we speak. It will close on August the 15th. We encourage companies and organizations and individuals to nominate others or apply themselves for these awards. You can find all the details at nctechawards.com. That's nctechawards.com. Everything's online. Applications and nominations are online. And again, we'll be open through August the 15th. So we encourage everyone to take a look at the categories and be sure to apply. So now I want to switch gears and welcome our other guest today, Bob Hawkins. Bob is a longtime friend and supporter and leader of the North Carolina Technology Association. He has been board chairman. He is on the board now. He was involved in my onboarding, so I'm especially grateful to him for that. And so, Bob, welcome to our show.
Thanks, Brooks. Glad to be here.
Well, you're vice president of North Carolina operations for EMC, so that leads to an obvious first question. Tell us about the North Carolina operations of EMC.
All right. First, a little bit of background on the company, because most people outside of the IT industry may not be familiar with us.
Sure.
We help our customers transform their IT operations to an as-a-service model, which helps them become more agile, more cost-effective, and more responsive to business needs. And with our products and services, our customers are able to move to a cloud computing model, gain value through analysis of big data, and do so within a trusted computing environment. We're part of a federation of companies. First of all, the traditional EMC storage business is known as EMC Information Infrastructure, focused on software-defined storage. VMware, which is a public company but mostly owned by EMC, is focused on the software-defined data center. And Pivotal, which is owned by EMC, VMware, and a stake by GE, is focused on the software-defined enterprise. In total, we're the same as MetLife, 64,000 employees working in 86 countries, Last year, we had revenues of $23.2 billion, and market cap today was around $59
billion. Great. So bring that down to the local level for us. Talk about the North Carolina presence and what you do here.
Okay. Actually, our oldest North Carolina operation predates EMC. EMC was founded in 1979, and our research and development center in RTP was opened in 1977 as Data General. EMC acquired Data General in 1999 for the mid-range storage product line there. In RTP, we have approximately 600 engineers doing mostly software development work for our mid-range product line and our backup and recovery systems, as well as some working on part of our security brand. In Apex, Apex was also opened in 1981 as Data General. That's where we do manufacturing for the domestic market for our mid-range storage products. So kind of unique in the computer industry, where a lot of computer manufacturing has moved to Mexico and China. We never left North Carolina, so we've been doing this. We supply all of those products for the domestic market. Our sister plant up in Massachusetts supplies the high-end storage product for the domestic market as well. And our newest facility is the data center and lab down in Durham, which opened in 2010.
Great. Now, of those sites, are any of them in growth mode? As a company, have you been in growth mode in North Carolina? Tell us a bit about the trajectory there.
Actually, when we were looking for a place to open a data center and lab, much like MetLife, this was a national search. In fact, the search included Iceland because we were looking for a place with low-cost power. As you might imagine, a data center and lab is a big consumer of electricity. We were looking for low-cost power, and Iceland has very low-cost geothermal power. Problem with Iceland is it's very cold, the days are short in the wintertime, and nobody wants to live there. And they also have volcanoes. So we also looked in upstate New York, low-cost hydropower, upstate Virginia, low-cost hydropower, Washington State, low-cost hydropower, and we settled on the Durham area for several reasons, very similar to what MetLife found. First of all, with our track record in North Carolina, we know it's a great place to do business. It's also a great place to raise a family, and that's an attractant to talent. There's an abundance of talent here with three major research universities. In fact, our track record is North Carolina State is our number one supplier of engineers for all of the engineering talent that we have here locally. We had an infrastructure that we could leverage already in place here, and we got a welcoming committee from all the chambers of commerce and from Duke Energy as well. So we settled on Durham for our site. We received an incentive package from the state, and that's a long way of answering your question, is that we're growing our commitment to the state. When we did the incentive package was to grow all of our operations organically, and that's what we've been doing.
Well, as a Wolfpacker, I appreciate the NC State reference, but your blood bleeds orange. Tell us, tell me some of the other universities from Clemson to others that you might have pipelines to.
Yes, we do. Even though NC State is our number one provider of engineering talent, we do recruit in the Southeast. In fact, I just did an onboarding for our newest crop of engineers last week, and there were students there from Clemson as well as Virginia Tech, in addition to North Carolina State.
Great.
And North Carolina A&T, I should mention them as well.
There seems to be some overlap here in where talent is found. That's great.
I think we're all fishing in the same pond there.
Well, that's probably true, too. Bob, I'm going to ask you this question. I should have asked Jeff a bit about this, but I know that you've done this to some extent as a company, maybe more locally even, and that is involving yourselves with the local universities, even in helping them develop some of the content of their coursework. I don't know if you're involved in that directly, but is that something that EMC tries to do to help make sure that students are graduating with the necessary skills to be meaningful employees to you?
Yes, absolutely. That's not something I personally do, but university relations at the corporate level is involved in that. We actually have several curricula that we offer to universities, and they're generic in nature. They're not EMC specific,
right.
But storage curricula, big data analytics curricula, because obviously we have a vested interest in making sure they're turning out the type of skills that we need.
Well, part of what the Technology Association that I lead is about is leadership. We feature the leadership of our member companies regularly in our programming and so forth. So I'll take advantage of you sitting here today. Tell us a little bit about how you came to EMC and your path prior to that.
Okay, I've spent my entire career in computer manufacturing, starting with NCR for 17 years. NCR decided it didn't want to be in manufacturing anymore and outsourced it to Selectron, and I went with that transaction. Selectron is what brought me to North Carolina. I was managing a facility up in Creedmoor for them. And 9 years ago, EMC called to ask if I'd be interested in coming down and managing their facility down in Apex. So my involvement with Enseda predates my employment at EMC. We were members at Selectron. And, of course, that membership continued when I came over to EMC. EMC was already a member, I believe, mm-hmm. and that's when I joined the board of directors of Enseda.
I think that's back when we had a longer name, too, the North Carolina Electronics and Information Technology Association,
Enseda. N-C-E-I-T-A, rolls right off
that's
the tongue.
Right. A little shorter now. Although I have to tell you something funny. I was driving past the state fair a couple of years ago, which is near where our office is, and I followed a minivan that had a license tag that said NCTA 1. And I thought, well, first of all, I'd like to have that license plate. And I wondered who it was, and then I saw the person lean over and speak to a highway patrol officer who was on the corner. And it was only then that I noticed that there was a bumper sticker above this license plate that said North Carolina Troopers Association. So there are a lot of NCTAs out there, too.
Not to be confused with the North Carolina Tennis Association.
Or Turnpike Authority or all the others, yeah. Well, speaking of EMC and the places that you have in North Carolina in terms of sites, the Triangle Business Journal recently named EMC as one of the best places to work. Tell us about why that is.
There are a number of reasons for that, but I think the bottom line is, and first of all, that is selected by our employees. That's not anything the company's done. That's based on a survey of employees and their answers on the survey and their comments. And I think it's because, it's hard to be a best place to work if the company's not successful. So we've been successful. We've grown. It's the culture. It's the total package that is EMC. And we're very proud of the fact that this selection this year by the TBJ was a milestone for us because it marked the 10th consecutive year that we've been named a best place to work by the Triangle Business Journal.
That's a great accomplishment. And I'm sure MetLife will be right in there as you grow and have more people and more tenure here, Jeff. Well, one of the things that you've also been acknowledged for, Bob, at EMC is sustainability initiatives. It's sort of a signature thing for you. I've had a chance to come to your facility in Apex when one of those awards, I guess from the governor's office, was presented. I think you've won at least one North Carolina Tech Association award for the same. Talk about some of the activities you have there.
Yeah, sustainability is a key initiative for EMC, and we even have a chief sustainability officer. And I like to describe it in terms of people, prosperity, and planet. On the people side, we do believe in an inclusive work environment. We have 7 different diversity circles operating here. EMC has its own social networking site called Inside EMC. And, of course, there's the Best Places to Work recognition. On the prosperity side, because we're a technology company and innovation is our lifeblood, our philanthropic initiatives are focused on promoting student interest in science, technology, engineering, and math. Mm-hmm. And that's a nice intersection with Enseda as well, the knowledge workforce. So we're very active in the middle schools and doing after-school science programs and doing robotics competitions, sponsoring robotics teams. Studies show that students make up their mind directionally which way they're going to go by the 6th or 7th grade. So that's why we're targeting that area. And then we sponsor a number of local charities, primarily through driven through our employees and our diversity circles. And then on the planet side, our factory is certified under the environmental standard. We have done a lot with recycling. We recycle over 2,000 metric tons of waste a year in the factory. We send less than 5% of our total waste to the landfills, and our goal is by 2016 to send zero to the landfill. And the award that you named was for all of the work that we've done in conservation of energy, water, and recycling. That's the we're recognized by the Diener as an environmental steward, one of only 20 companies in the state of North Carolina to have that honor.
That's terrific. The state has a program that's, as you noted, really worked to encourage companies to meet certain standards and guidelines and milestones, and they recognize those. So I think that's what I may have been out there to visit for.
Yes, it was.
For you to receive. One of the things that I mentioned earlier in the show, and that EMC here in North Carolina and you in particular have had a long time tied to, is the annual leadership retreat. Used to be called Leadership Conference, so I sometimes slip and say that. But the leadership retreat that we have each summer, this is geared to bringing the leaders of tech organizations and other organizations together to spend some quality time together in a less compressed format, to hear about the state of the sector in North Carolina. We offer sort of a mid-year economic outlook and review as part of this, and some panels of leaders who talk about everything from talent to this year, how to stay on top once you're on top. How does a market leader stay there? Tell a little bit about your history with this leadership retreat, why EMC supports it so strongly, and also about the guest you're bringing as our opening keynote speaker.
Sure. Actually, in EMC's involvement in the leadership retreat predates my tenure at EMC. They were the title sponsor of that before I got to EMC, and we've continued that through my tenure there. The leadership retreat is my favorite event because it's members only. Therefore, it's a much more intimate event than the others. It is the best opportunity for networking and to get to know your peers with a networking session on Thursday night. Starts out with a golf tournament on Thursday. We're two-time defending champions, I might add.
But who's counting?
But who's counting?
You are.
I probably just jinxed ourselves on that one. The conference kicks off Thursday night, and the Thursday night keynote is a guy from our CTO office by the name of Steve Todd. Mm-hmm. And Steve will talk about maintaining that that leadership role once you've hit it. And then into a series of panel discussions on Friday and another keynote on Friday. But like I said, it's a great event to get to know the leaders of the tech community in North Carolina.
Well, I'm really glad that Steve is coming to be that kickoff speaker on Thursday because his role is sort of VP of Innovation and Strategy for the company. That speaks exactly to the theme. This year, EMC is an example of a company that is a market leader, the market leader in what it does is thought of as that. And so it means you're also a target. Everybody wants to eat away at that lead and claim a part of it for themselves. We're going to have a few other companies there that are in a similar position in their market. Friday morning, we have the CIO of Belk, which may not strike you as a tech company, and it isn't, but they are investing hundreds of millions of dollars in revamping how they run their operations as well as how they engage their customers at the store. And so we'll hear a little bit about how a successful company like theirs that's a market leader in what they do are using technology to sort of transform how they work, how they engage their customers, and to remain on top. Also executives with Red Hat, another market leader in their world, and then an interesting company based in Wilmington called Castle Branch. Might not be a name brand that everyone knows, but they've become a real national leader in background checks, including for very sensitive positions in health and other areas. They've really grown substantially and are based in Wilmington, so they're a homegrown business. I think they were started in Chapel Hill, actually, so we will be featuring them as part of that panel. Well, with that, I want to wrap up the interview segment of our show today. We really appreciate both of you coming in. Jeff Lang with MetLife, who's Vice President and General Manager of the Global Technologies Organization here in the Triangle, and Bob Hawkins, who's Vice President of North Carolina Operations for EMC Corporation and a member of the board of the North Carolina Technology Association. I want to give you a word about our next show before we wrap up. Our next program will air live on Monday, August 25th. We are live the fourth Monday of each month at 1 p.m. Again, we'll highlight the legislative session that we'll have hopefully wrapped up by then. And we'll talk to a couple of guests who are with North Carolina homegrown companies about how they were started, how they've grown, what their plans for the future is. If you ever want to learn more about our association or this program, you can visit our website at nctechnology.org. Our Twitter handle is at NCTA, where we have a hashtag NCTechTalk. We also have a company page on LinkedIn. So from our studios here in the Metro Raleigh region, for BusinessX Radio, thank you for listening to NC Tech Talk.